The reading is from Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 26, and that's on page 636. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them round your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favour and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father a son in whom he delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, yet nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and the adornment for your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught.
Thanks, Jenny. It would be great if you can keep that passage open. It's a great delight to be here again at The Barge. And we've been looking at this book of Proverbs and just these opening three chapters that set the scene for the rest of the book. And we looked last week that how do we gain wisdom? Well, wisdom is a gift from God. It's not just something we can swat up on, but it's great that we can come together and look at God's living word. And we need to ask him to give us that gift of insight and understanding as we look at his word. So let's pray and ask God for that now. Heavenly Father, we recognize that the one who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding, as this passage says, is blessed and gains something of ultimate worth. So we pray that you will give each of us that gift today, that gift of greater insight, greater understanding into who you are and therefore who we are in your kingdom. And we pray that so that Jesus will be glorified. Amen. Well, last week I had a spectacularly unsuccessful attempt at telling a joke. So I've went to my boss I used to work for at what was Coopers & Lybrand, and he's given me an American joke. He now works in the States, and it goes like this. A guy took his girlfriend to a new girlfriend to her first American football game. They had great seats right behind their team's bench. After the game, he asked her how she liked the experience. "Oh, I really liked it," she replied, "but I just couldn't understand why they were killing each other over 25 cents. Dumbfounded, her date asked, "What do you mean?" "Well, they flipped a coin and one team got it. Then for the rest of the game, all they kept screaming was, "Get the quarterback, get the quarterback." I'm like, "Hello, it's only 25 cents. Well, well, that went better, actually, than last week. I'll have to tell my boss. It's a good joke, but it's not a good definition of wisdom. Wisdom isn't about accumulation of knowledge about American football or any subject, for that matter. You can be as brainy as the brainiest person, but still be very unwise in your actions. The wise person is the person who sees reality. That's the point that keeps on being made in these opening chapters. Wisdom is about seeing the world from the reality of the creator of the world. Seeing that this world is made by a God who loves us, seeing that this world has an eternal purpose and that we are part of that eternal purpose. So the question remains, therefore, for us today, why? Why should we bother with this reality? What's the benefit of that for us? Well, let's look again at chapter 3 and verse 1. We're told, "Do not forsake this teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Why? Why do we need to take such note of God's wisdom? Why do we have to base that on the tablet of our hearts, base our whole lives on it? Well, because only wisdom provides a secure foundation for life. That's my only point today. Only wisdom provides a secure foundation for life. We're going to look at three reasons why that's true, and those reasons are listed on the sheet you should have got as you came in this morning. First of all, because only wisdom enables us to rely on God's help rather than our own help. That's the point of wisdom, verse 3. "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind that round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." The point of wisdom, the whole point, is to gain this most amazing gift from God. This gift of knowing a love that is steadfast. Knowing that God loves us, that his love will never depart from us. Knowing a promise, a faithful promise, that God is our loving Father, will not forsake us, that we'll know him for all eternity, that he will make all things new, and we will be part of his people with him in his new creation. Wisdom is about making that love from God, that faithful promise from God, central in our lives. Bind them round your neck. Allow the whole of your head to be controlled by that love and faithfulness of God. Write them on your heart. All of your thoughts, all of your ambitions, every part of you, be controlled again by knowing God loves me. I am a child of my Heavenly Father. I will be for all eternity. The issue in these opening chapters is our tendency is to ignore that, is to rely, rather than on God help, to rely on self-help, and to do what verse 7 says. Verse 7, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, look to him, and turn away from evil." Don't be wise in your own eyes. Chapter 1, verse 7 is the key to understanding Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Looking to him, not looking to our own selves. Looking to the Lord. Fools, though, despise that. Fools ignore God. And as Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Ultimate foolishness. That's the issue. We all have potential to do that, don't we? In our hearts, just to ignore God. When I worked in consultancy in the city, we used to have what we called a CLM. I don't know if you still have that. A CLM stands for a career limiting move. There were two ways you could commit a CLM. If your boss asked you to do something, I could say to my boss, "No, Elizabeth, that's a stupid idea. I'm not going to do it." That would be a CLM. But there's a slightly more subtle way I could have done it. If my boss asked me to do something, I could say, "Okay," and then just not do it at all, just to ignore her. Both ways, I'm committing the same limiting move on my career. And we do that to God. We don't necessarily say, "There is no God," point blank. But in our actions, in our thoughts, in our heart, we're saying there is no God just by ignoring him, living life without him. So the biggest fool, who is the biggest fool in Canary Wharf right now? person who's just lost lots of money on a deal? No. The person who says there is no God. There are many fools in Canary Wharf. And many times when we're fools in our lives as well. When I was younger, I was given by my parents, who are great Christians, still are, I was given these books. They were called Arch books, and they were Bible stories in rhyme. I don't know if anybody else got those. You're probably all far too young to remember them. But they were basically Bible stories in rhyme. And there was this Bible story of what was called the rich fool. This person who built these big barns and said, you know, I'm going to be happy and everything. And then suddenly he dies and faces making an account to God for his life. And there was a little phrase that he says when he's built these big barns and he's made a great success of his life. He sits on a deck chair and he says, first things first, myself I'll please and live my life in wealth and ease. Now, I can honestly say that of all of the Christian books and stuff that I read as a youngster, that's the only line I remember, which was not the point at all. But it just sort of tickled me at the time. First things first, myself I'll please and live my life in wealth and ease. That's a great definition of what the Bible calls sin, ignoring God. It's all about me. I'll be the centre of my world. Wisdom, though, is saying, no, God is the centre. Wisdom is about trusting in him, trusting in his good and perfect will. And what will happen when we do that? We'll know steadfast love, verse 3, faithfulness. They won't be absent from us. We'll know the fullness of that from God. So why wisdom? First of all, because only wisdom gives the secure foundation of God's help rather than our own help. Secondly, because only wisdom, therefore, gives this authentic life. Coca-Cola, for many, many years, have said Coke is the real thing. Well, I think Proverbs could probably say the same thing. It could say life, the real thing, is life in relationship with God. You see, wisdom is a gift of God, and God himself teaches and trains us. Let's look at verse 11 together. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Wisdom is a privilege, the privilege that God himself relates to us. He cares about us that much. He wants us to live in a way that not just pleases him, but also makes sense of the life that he's created. He is the creator. And therefore, verse 16 says, long life is in her hand, her right hand, the hand of wisdom. Wisdom gives long life with one hand, gives riches and honour, gives all that God has provided with the other. Her ways, verse 17, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. It stands to reason, if we have God's steadfast love and faithfulness controlling our lives, then the paths that we take will also be infused with God's love and faithfulness. Our decisions, every aspect of ourselves, and therefore we will live a life that is a life of peace, a life that reflects God's character. The fool says, I'll ignore that. I'll ignore God's discipline. I will live life based on how I feel it should be lived. No, the fool despises the Lord's discipline. Wisdom is about taking note each day, each step of the way. As verse 19 says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds deep dropped down the dew. Do you see the impact of that statement? It was by wisdom, God's wisdom, that everything was created. And therefore, not relying on God's wisdom is just ignoring the manufacturer's instructions as we live day by day, thinking I can make things without God's will. I can just make my own luck. I can make my own satisfaction. No, God is the source. He is the wisdom, the creator of all things. And not only that, but in a fundamental sense, God is the tree of life. Let's look at verse 18. She, wisdom, is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. The tree of life, as the readers of Proverbs would have known very well, is referred to in the opening chapters of Genesis. When God created the world, he created this good, pleasing, perfect world. And in the center of that world was this tree of life, a tree they were able to eat from, that would give them life eternal with God in his perfect creation. But when Adam and Eve rejected God, they were separated from that tree. God says, I'm going to prevent them from eating from that tree, living forever in separation from me. And therefore, they were moved away from the tree of life. But God says, I will give that back, the tree of life, and I will give that through my Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. We preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, he is Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ dying on a cross. That is ultimate wisdom. Why? Because that gives us life back. The life of restored, forgiven relationship with God. Only wisdom can provide that. Only trusting in the Lord provides life as it was created to be. Life eternal. Life with God. Which brings us to the third point, that only the wise can avoid the ruin that we all instead will face. Chapter 3 and verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 21. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. It's not saying here that become a Christian and suddenly all your problems will disappear. No, life isn't going to be a complete bed of roses, but the issues, the problems, the hurts that we face will not crush us in the same way. Why? We won't be paralyzed by fear of failure, fear of the future. We won't have that worry hanging over us, that guilt. It has all been removed. I don't know if you are up with the charts at the moment, but Kelly Clarkson, who won American Pop Idol, I think, at one stage, she has a song out that's very high in the charts at the moment that goes like this. I will not make the same mistakes that you did. I will not let myself cause my heart so much misery. I will not break the way you did. You fell so hard. I've learnt the hard way to never let it get that far. Because of you, I never stray too far from the sidewalk. Because of you, I learnt to play on the safe side so I don't get hurt. Because of you, I find it hard to trust not only me, but everyone around me. Because of you, I'm afraid. I lose my way, and it's not too long before you point it out. I cannot cry, because you know that's weakness in your eyes. I'm forced to fake a smile, a laugh every day of my life. My heart can't possibly break when it wasn't even whole to start with. Because of you, I try my hardest just to forget everything. Because of you, I don't know how to let anyone else in. Because of you, I'm ashamed of my life, because it's empty. Because of you, I am afraid. Now, it's very, very striking words. This is words being pumped out on the radio across the planet right now. But is that wisdom? I'm afraid, so I'll shut down. I'll prevent myself from being hurt anymore. No. The song of the person who fears the Lord is very different. It's a song of saying, because of you, because of Jesus, I can know forgiveness. I can know the lifting of that guilt, that guilty verdict, no more. Because of you, because of Jesus, I can know joy. Joy of relationship with my Heavenly Father, restored relationship. Because of you, because of Jesus, I have peace with God. I have purpose, I have life eternal. Because of you, I have confidence. Confidence for the future. Those addicted to self will always see that slipping through their fingers. Chapter 4 and verse 16. If we just move over to that for a second. Chapter 4, verse 16. They, those who avoid God and deny him, they cannot sleep unless they've done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have someone, they've made someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. There is such a contrast between that and chapter 3, verse 24. Chapter 3, verse 24. If you lie down and you're wise, if you're trusting God, when you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You won't be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. Why? Verse 26, that's the key. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Yes, things will happen that are very hard to take and to live through. But our foot won't slip. Our heart won't be crushed by those things. Because God himself will remain, his faithfulness, his steadfast love will remain written on our hearts, bound around our neck. Why wisdom? Well, because wisdom is about seeing the reality of that one confidence that we can receive, and also the reality that without wisdom, we are deeply offending God. Rejecting him, ignoring him, isn't just mildly inconvenient, it just doesn't mildly annoy. It is deeply offensive to God. And we will give an account before him. Only wisdom, only receiving forgiveness from God, only that is the way to life, life now, but also life eternal. Wisdom. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days, years of life, and peace they will add to you. Let's pray together. It may be that you've come here this lunchtime and you think, well, just starting to look at these things. Maybe you came to Just Looking last week or want to commit to coming to Just Looking this week and to start trusting in him. Or it may be that you've done that a while ago, but you know there are aspects of your life where you're trusting in your own understanding still. Maybe you need to say sorry to God in the silence. Ask that this day you will know the life that comes from his wisdom, his love, his faithfulness. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we don't have to search for our own wisdom, but that you provide wisdom. You provide ultimate insight insight into your love and your faithfulness. Help us to know the fullness of your love, know the security of your promises, and for our lives to be based on that security. Help us to delight as you correct us, train us, to know that you are a Father who longs for us to be your children who are thriving, who know life. And help us, therefore, to live that life in our workplaces, in our families, in each situation that we face, that we'll face it with the confidence of knowing you will never let us go, that you have sorted the ultimate threat of death, provided the gift of new life with you. We pray that so Jesus will be glorified in our lives. Amen. Thank you for coming. There's lunch around. Do stay for that. And do come to Just Looking. That's tomorrow night, is that right? Tomorrow lunchtime. So do come to that if you want to ask your questions. Thank you.